Good evening, friends, and thank you for joining us again this week. As we start the year of 2018, we are providing some continuation to the work that we started back in December. And as we move on with our Gnostic Lab for practical application, what we would like to start trying tonight is to put into effect the different stages of meditation. Meditation is of utmost importance because Amiel says that meditation is the way in which we get information. But the thing is that most people do not understand why is it that we meditate. Many people just sit down and they are there with their eyes closed. But in the meantime, their mind is wandering around every other thing that happened to them during the day. And beyond that, their mind is also drifting from one mechanical association to the next one. And before long, the person sitting with their eyes closed does not even remember the sequence of thoughts that have been going through the screen of their mind. And we have to overcome this. The reason we meditate, and this is something that we all need to take away from this practical application today, the reason we meditate is to calm down. The reason we meditate is to bring tranquility, serenity. Because when we are tranquil, when we are serene, it is then that we can listen. It is then that we can hear the voice of the innermost. It is then that we can truly make contact, not only with our innermost, but with that source of life and information that we are actually seeking. So Samael tells us, we must experience the truth in a direct, practical, and real manner. And this is only possible in the stillness and the silence of the mind. So when it comes to meditation, we have gone through Samael's works. And we have identified three peculiar sources that speak about Pratyahara. And the first one we would like to share with you is from the book, The Mysteries of Fire. And Samael says, meditation is a simple system to receive information. So it so happens that the moment that you are able to calm down your physicality, the moment that you are able to calm down your emotions and slow down your intellect, you start slowing down all of those mental projections. It is at that time that all of a sudden you experience that aha moment. It is at that time where you have been wondering something about something else, and before long, that information comes to you, and it comes to you like a bolt of lightning. In many instances, the reaction of the physical body has to go, and you get it. Everything that you wanted to know, everything that you're capable of understanding up to that moment, you just get it. If you experience that, you will notice that the moment that you try to start running all of that internal experience, all of that internal ecstasy that you manifest, and run it through your intellect and verbalize it, much of the content is lost in translation. And many of you perhaps have experienced this. Maybe you have received one or more intuits, because this is how they are called. Those bolts of wisdom are known as intuits. Maybe you have received one or more intuits in your life experience. And the joy and the happiness that you experience is of such magnitude that you want to share it with someone else. You want to share that happiness. You want to share that wisdom with someone. But as you do that, you find yourself over-explaining. You find yourself adding into that experience that you have so that you can convey the same experience for others. And before long, again, it's lost in translation. People look at you like, So Samael says, meditation is a simple system to receive information. And when the wise one submerges in meditation, they do that because they are seeking information. Of course, in meditation, we need to be able to achieve that perfect balance between being awake and falling asleep. Because it is in that particular sweet spot, in that sweet stage, that we get the most benefit of the meditation itself. Samael says, meditation is the daily bread of the wise one. Meditation is made of various phases. It is made of asana. And asana is just a comfortable posture. So once you are able to reach find the comfortable posture. It is then that we can start the meditation exercise. And where can these comfortable postures be? Well, there are many students of Gnosis who would like to assume the lotus posture. This is the way that people up in the East, this is how they sit. They cross their legs as they are sitting down. But for many of us, that posture is too uncomfortable. And if you try to force yourself into that, and of course we have to try, we have to educate the body to sit in that posture. But if we try to overdo it at first, you start feeling pain in your ankles, pain in your feet fall asleep, and all of these sensations become distractions in the exercise of meditation. So Samael says, you can sit down. You sit down comfortably on a chair where your feet can be flat on the floor, where you can rest your back on the back of the chair, and you can just allow your hands to rest comfortably on your thighs. When you do that, you close your eyes, and that is a posture that is good enough for you to be able to meditate. Another posture that you can assume is the posture of the corpse. And this posture happens to be very meaningful. It's very significant, because symbolically, the posture of the corpse reminds us of the mystical death that we have to go through, of the effort that we must undergo in life by observing, comprehending, so that we can eliminate our psychological aggregates, of course, with the help of our Divine Mother. So we can lean on the floor. We can lean on top of a mat, of a yoga mat. It's a good mat to use. You can lean on the carpet. And in the posture of the corpse, what you do is that you will allow your head to be pointing north. That way you allow the flow of those subtle currents of the earth to flow naturally through your body. And as you're resting in that posture, well, you can allow your arms to rest comfortably on your sides. You can bring your heels together and allow your feet to rest so they will fan open. As you assume that posture, close your eyes. And as you relax your physical body, that posture is good enough for you to do meditation. Samael shares with us a third one. And he says, you can assume the posture of the flaming star. And the flaming star is the pentagram. That is the symbol of the flaming star. You can allow your head to be either pointing north or pointing towards the east. And what you will do is that you will lay comfortably on the floor or on the mattress or on a mat. And you will spread your legs open and you will open your arms as if you were a five-pointed star. Samael says this is a very powerful posture, because before the five-pointed star, the columns of demons and the tenebrous ones, they flee, terrified. So that is a very good posture to assume as well. The moment you find yourself comfortable in that posture and you close your eyes and your body is relaxed, at that point, you're good to start your exercise of meditation. So this is the very first phase, asana, which is the comfortable posture. The second stage or phase of meditation, which is the one that we will cover today, is the phase of pratihara. And pratihara means not thinking. Pratihara is having a clear mind. Now, many students will think about having a clear mind, and they will immediately create a mental image of them seeing a movie screen, a white movie screen, out of which nothing is being projected. And that is a good effort. However, they fail to realize that that visualization is a mental projection. And before long, because all it takes is just a little bit of teasing from the ego, some other thought will come around. And the moment that thought comes around, there is identification with that thought. And with the identification, there is fascination with that thought. And with fascination, it just follows through into the sleep of consciousness. And then 5 minutes go by, 10, 15 minutes, and the student realizes, wait, what happened? I was looking at this blank screen, and now I don't even know why I'm thinking about this or that thing. Because that is what happens. So the phase of pratihara requires of us to clear the mind. And for us to clear the mind, we need to learn the right methods so that we can extenuate the effort of the intellect itself so that the intellect itself stops projecting. Because we cannot force the mind to remain calm. If we try to force the mind will rebel itself. And before you realize, it will be issuing projections of all kinds, and you will become identified, fascinated, and once again drop into the sleep of consciousness. The third phase is called dharana, and dharana is internal concentration. This is how we start going into a deeper state of focus into that one thing that we are seeking to learn from, or to of that one thing out of which we are seeking to obtain some particular information. Beyond dharana, dhyana. And in dhyana, we finally reach a state of deep, internal, profound meditation. It is at that moment where you reach a state where your body is very calm and very relaxed, where your intellect is not projecting. And within that concentration, a bolt of intuition comes in and you can experience that ecstasy. There are different things that can lead you to the experience of that ecstasy, because just like everything else, ecstasy expresses itself in degrees within degrees. So initially you will receive bolts of intuition that would give you a tremendous joy. That joy would be very short-lived in our known timelines. So you will enjoy it for 1 second, for 5 seconds, just for a brief, short moment. As we continue working in the exercise of meditation, you can develop the ability to enable your consciousness, your essence, to escape the ego. And the moment that happens, you can experience that superior ecstasy that comes from the experience of the illuminating void. So this is what we wanted to share with you from Samael's book, The Mysteries of Fire. As you can see, there are 5 stages of meditation, a comfortable posture, seeking to have a clear mind, the state of no thinking, which is the highest state of thinking, internal concentration, deep profound meditation, and then followed by ecstasy. On the book, The Great Manifest of Aquarius, Samael shares with us something a little bit deeper on the concept of pratyahara, and he says, there are schools of dark arts that practice with a blank mind. Now, when he's speaking about schools of dark arts, he's speaking about schools that teach their students black magic. Now, many of these schools, they will teach black magic deliberately, and others of these schools will teach black magic by being oblivious to the fact that they are teaching black magic. What is black magic? Your friends, black magic happens every time that we try to force changes in causes and conditions and circumstances by desire of our own ego, because of the fears of our own ego, because of the judgments, the false beliefs, the fallacies of the own ego. Whenever you see someone who is ill and you immediately intervene, and as you intervene, you're trying to do something to heal them, because you don't know if that illness is because of a karmic consequence. Because you are not trying to offer that healness by the intervention of your innermost, by the invocation of your Divine Mother, by asking that all things manifest according to the will of the great law, the power, the love, the mercy of the Christ. If you don't do that, and you are there just shaking plants and giving people something to drink and declaring that you're going to be healed and this is going to go away and everything is going to be fine, you may be creating intervention in superior activities of karma. And when you are intervening, you're setting resistance in all of those higher decrees from those great divine masters. That is black magic. Okay? So there are schools of dark arts that they seek to practice with a blank mind. And they want a blank mind, and this is what Samael says, without knowing any Zen Buddhism, without ever having practiced with a koan, without ever studying in depth the science of pratyahara and the law of mental bipolarities. This is what he says. Let's take a second to understand what that means. Because he is saying, they want a blank mind without knowing any Zen Buddhism, without ever having practiced with a koan. What is a koan? A koan is an enigmatic phrase. It is a phrase that you cannot give an answer to. For example, what was your face before you were born? Another koan. If you give your bones to your father and your flesh to your mother, where are you? These are koans. They are deep, profound, enigmatic phrases that challenge the intellect. And because the mind will struggle to answer them, eventually the mind falls defeated. And the moment the mind falls defeated, as you continue repeating that koan, that is the moment that the mind stops thinking. But Samael also says, without ever studying in depth the science of Pratyahara. What is the science of Pratyahara? Well, science, we have to start by understanding that science means the understanding of the phenomena of nature by virtue of its causes and effects. Of Pratyahara, no thinking. So we have to understand, study in depth, the phenomena of causes and effects that leads us into a condition of not thinking. That is the science of Pratyahara. And he says, and the law of mental bipolarities. What are bipolarities? Think yourself of a thermometer. We use a thermometer to measure the level of energy in something. We use the thermometer just to see how hot things are. And when you're looking at the thermometer, you know that in the scale of the thermometer, on one extreme it is very hot, and on the other it is very cold. And as you go up and down the scale, you do not know, and you cannot tell, where is it that cold ends, and where is it that hot starts? Because between hot and cold, there are infinite degrees of difference. However, on one extreme, it shows hot, and on the other extreme, it shows cold. That is a bipolarity. We are looking at the principle of polarities that the great Hermes Trismegistus gave humanity as one of the seven principles of manifestation. And we need to realize that in any continuum, there are two opposites that need and must be reconciled. That is the law of mental bipolarities. And it is the law of mental bipolarities. It is working with the synthesis, what allows us to practice and achieve the face of Pratyahara. Samael says, these people who want a blank mind in these schools of dark arts, they want this without knowing of the law through which the essence of the mind is liberated from within the bottle of antithesis to fuse with the monad and reach Satori. What he is telling here, a group of advanced students, is that without knowing the law through which the essence can then liberate itself and escape the bottles of the ego, because we know that our essence is fractionated, it is fractionated and it is distributed in all of these thousands of psychological aggregates that we carry, we can bring the mind into a state of calmness that all of those bottles open. And the moment they open, the consciousness escapes. And it can then fuse with the monad, the innermost, with your being. And when that happens, you experience Satori. Satori is Japanese for samadhi. Samadhi is ecstasy. It is that fantastic, phenomenal bliss. It is a joy and a happiness that it is unexplainable. It has and must be experienced to comprehend it. Samael finishes by saying, the fanatics of such schools of dark arts, they believe that achieving a blank mind happens just like that. He says it's as easy as blowing bottles. It is not like that. Not only they think it just happens just like that, but they expect that the great reality, the great law, will enter them, and just by no specific reason at all, the great reality will enter them and will toss away all of those bestial animal entities that constitute the ego and will give them happiness. This is not the way it works. We need to learn to make use of this law of the mental bipolarities. We need to put into practice the principle of correspondence. And last but not least, in the book The Revolution of the Dialectic, Samael says as follows, examine both polarities of every mental form that reaches the mind. Keep in mind that only through the study of polarities we reach synthesis. This is what he says. He says, examine both polarities of every mental form that reaches the mind. That is the core statement. Anything that comes to the mind, it has two extremes, and those extremes are opposites, and those opposites must be reconciled. Listen, he says, every mental formation can be eliminated through synthesis. For example, an image of a girlfriend comes to us. This is what he says. An image of a girlfriend comes to us. Is she pretty? He says, let's think beauty is the opposite of ugly. And that if in her young years she was pretty, then when she's old, she's going to be ugly. This is what he's saying. So you're thinking, you're fascinated with the image of a beautiful woman. You have to realize that that beauty is part of that extreme. And on the opposite, there is ugliness. So if she's beautiful now, and you're fascinated, eventually that beauty is going to fade away. It's going to wither, and it's going to turn ugly. This is what Samael says. There is no value in thinking of her. She is an illusion, a flower that would inevitably fade and wither. This is what he says. If you're fascinated with a new car, and all you can think is that car, and you're fascinated because of the lines and the color and the smell of the car and how fast it is, you also have to think that on the opposite extreme of that, the car breaks down, it needs maintenance, it must be washed, eventually it can get into an accident, the paint is not going to look too pretty, the carpets are going to get stained, and it's going to be a piece of junk. So just like this image of the beautiful woman, there is no value in thinking of the car. It is an illusion. Because whatever it is now, it is eventually going to wither and fade away. Samael says, in India, this act of self-observation and the study of our psyche is properly called pratihara. So what is pratihara? It is an effort that we put into the practice of meditation, where we observe without identifying every mental image that comes into the screen of your mind. And as you observe it, we have to look at it in terms of extremes, in terms of polarities. You have to do that. But allow us to tell you, this requires of a lot of the remembrance of self. Because you can get very identified with the beauty of that young woman in this example. And as you start realizing that there is an opposite of that that is ugly, you can become fascinated with the ugly. And before long, you go down that spiral in the ugliness, and you start coming up with mental, mechanical associations, and before long, you are distracted, and you don't even know what you were doing in your meditative exercise. So the remembrance of self, it cannot be underestimated. It is very important that we maintain it. So this information, we have it from Master Samael, from the book, The Revolution of the Dialectic. So, when it comes to pratihara, what is the meaning of pratihara? Pratya means against. Ahara means influences. So pratihara means against influences. Against the influences of what? of the internal liar, of the internal deceiver. This is why Samael refers to our psychological aggregates as devilish egos. Because they are devilish in nature. Because it is the devil, the one who deceives, the one who lies, the one who contradicts, the one who creates conflict. That's the ego. So pratihara, against influences. And what is the science of pratihara? We need to take those images and we need to be able to identify the extremes. Experience has shown us that as we try to look at the extremes, because we are constantly in a quest for happiness, we fascinate ourselves with things that we magnify their goodness, their importance, their relevance. That is what we do. So we tend to naturally, in this quest to achieve happiness, in this quest to end our suffering, we tend to hold on to many of these concepts. We tend to hold on to many of these concepts, considering that that is the best thing for us, that that is exactly what we need, that that is what is going to end up our suffering. So we polarize ourselves with just one aspect. So identifying that first one is relatively easy. We need to identify what is the opposite. And as we identify what is the opposite, we need to help reconcile those extremes and continue doing that until the mind slows down and it stops projecting. So let's go ahead and do a practice. Okay? We're going to ask you, if it is possible for you as you are sitting down, just sit down comfortably with your feet flat on the floor. Allow your hands to rest comfortably on your thighs. As we do that, we close our eyes. Those of you who have the opportunity to lay down on the floor, whether it is a mat or the carpet, that is great. If you can do it on your bed, phenomenal. If you fall asleep, allow us to tell you this, we're going to fade away. We're going to end the exercise. But if you fall asleep, when you wake up, whether it is an hour, 2 hours from now, or maybe tomorrow morning, don't move. Remain very still. Keep close to you your Gnostic journal. Make sure that you do that. So that when you wake up, that you can do a retrospective exercise and take note of everything that you heard, that you saw, that you said, that you experienced. Any emotions, any places. Write it all down. And go through the effort of interpreting your dream. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's allow our feet to just be flat on the floor, our hands on our thighs, and we close our eyes. Let's take a deep breath in. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my eternal God, we ask of you, we beg of you, with our soul and our heart, that you give us some guidance performing this exercise. We ask for your illumination. We ask for your protection and your teaching. Grant us the opportunity in this new moment to embrace this cosmic opportunity to silence and quiet our minds. We're going to start with a relaxation exercise. So let's go ahead and let's visualize that our physical body is populated with an infinite amount of gnomes. And let's allow these gnomes to start walking out the soles of our feet one by one. And as these gnomes leave the physical body, and we use our objective imagination to see them, we can feel that relaxation immediately inundating our feet, our ankles, our calves, all the way up to our knees. We continue to breathe without making any significant effort. We allow that breath of life just to permeate every atom, every particle, every fiber, every tissue, every organ of our body. And as we continue observing these gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, we bring that relaxation into our thighs. The thighs are of vital importance, and they are influenced, governed by the constellation of Sagittarius. It is at the level of our femoral arteries where we are carrying energies that come from below, marrying them with the energies that come from above, from the skies and the heavens of Urania. And that force allows us to become magnetized, to charge and energize our own creative orders. With that relaxation, we continue observing these gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, and we extend that sensation of calmness into our sexual organs, into our glutes, our back. And we bring that into our internal organs. We continue breathing without making any significant effort. And we make an objective effort to allow our intestines, our stomach, our enteric system, our pancreas, our spleen, our liver, to release any tension, to release any stress. And as we do that, we naturally feel the relaxation reaching our lungs and our heart. As these little gnomes continue walking out the soles of our feet, we allow that relaxation to cascade down our shoulders, into our elbows, our wrists, our hands, and our fingers. As you observe attentively, you will notice that you will be capable of hearing your heartbeat. And in gratitude and gratefulness for this new opportunity, we continue observing these gnomes walking out the soles of our feet. And we relax the muscles of our jaw. We relax our lips and our tongue. We relax our cheeks our eyes, the muscles of our forehead. Relax your ears and allow that calmness and that relaxation to slowly reach all around your head and your scalp to the crown of your head. Take a moment to enjoy of this relaxation and the subtle vibration that inundates your physical body. But enjoy it without identifying with it. We are simply grateful for this cosmic opportunity. As we continue breathing, we maintain the remembrance of self. We are here with a purpose, and our motto is dilemma, willpower. So we observe our thoughts, not like the actor that is trapped in the drama of the thought itself, but we observe our thoughts from a third position, like the director observes the making of a movie. And as you observe your thoughts, maybe there is an aggregate there that is saying, I am not thinking. But we do not argue with that. We do not judge it. We do not justify it. We simply observe it. As we know very well that there are times that we have the perception, the sensation of not thinking. But on the other extreme, there are times that the thoughts don't seem to stop. On the other extreme, there are times that there are songs playing and they repeat themselves over and over again. And if you are not the one thinking, and yet those thoughts manifest, then evidently there is a thinking there that must be identified. And we don't need to have to pay attention to this. So as we reconcile those two extremes, we take those thoughts and we let them go. And we see them fall into a very deep and profound abyss. but we do not celebrate. Just like the tree grows and bears fruit without celebrating, the same way we simply observe and perceive. Perhaps in your next thought, an image comes to mind with your husband or with your wife. Perhaps a difficult moment where you felt deluded, insulted. Maybe when you felt rejected. And we can observe those thoughts without identifying with them. As we observe them from a distance. And we know that on one extreme, we sometimes have difficulties, misunderstandings, confusions. And on the other extreme, we find ourselves seeing ourselves with a loved one in a state of deep, profound love. In all those other instances where we have expressed our adoration, and these extremes allow us to realize that the sufferings that we go through in our marriage, with our spouse, at home, that they are caused by our very own aggregates. That just as we suffer, our husband also suffers. Our wife, she also suffers. And as we reconcile these two extremes, we can allow these thoughts to just go. And we see them fall into a deep and profound abyss. And we let them go with gratefulness and gratitude and with no need to celebrate. Dear friends, we invite you to continue with this exercise. Do not allow yourself to be bound by time or external pressures. Continue reconciling those thoughts and continue letting go. And do that until that moment that your mind becomes tired of projecting and achieve a state of no thinking. Thank you, dear friends, for joining us today. And may all beings be happy.